This is Age of Treason Radio.
First thing I remember was asking Papa why. For there were many things I didn't know.
On the White Network.
By the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's gone. You better learn your past, you better learn your own. Someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Jews and Organ Transplants Part 1. It turns out that I've embarked on an odyssey here that I really didn't anticipate in digging at first into what I thought would be a very brief excursion into race and racial differences in blood. And it's now going on dozens of hours of research and 2.5 hours of talking, and I can see at least two parts to this. So what I did was I talked to two installments about race and blood and two installments about race and organ transplants, and I thought, well, what about the Jewish angle to organ transplants? I didn't see anything as far as the biological differences and what the consequences might be for Jews, but I thought, let me search for organ transplants and Jews. And when I did that, one of the first hits that I got was a PDF document that was presented at a Jewish medical ethics summer program in 2011. But it was actually came from a Jewish medical ethics journal and was published originally in 1997. And it had actually a pretty good overview. It had nothing to do really with Jewish ethics. That I could see on the surface. It talked mainly about the history of organ transplants and the state of the art in the various types of organs that could be transplanted. And it brought to my attention something that I had overlooked in my discussion of organ transplantation, which was this thing called HLA, or human leukocyte antigen. And this is analogous, when I looked into it, it's analogous to the A, B, and O antigen system that was discovered in blood. And I don't want to get into the details of it, because I looked into the details, and I just wanted to try and form some vague idea of what it was. And it's very, very deep. It's complicated. It's not something that you could just figure out by reading a few pages worth of stuff. And it's very confusing. There's a lot of jargon, a lot of confusing long words and that you've never seen before, and it's a little difficult to make sense out of it. But as I say, the analogy you can think of is it is for organs what the A, B, and O antigen system is for blood. And I went in detail into the complexities there. Apparently the human leukocyte antigen system is even more unique to individuals. And that's why, for instance, in the last installment when I talked about that kid with leukemia who wasn't able to find a match because of his race-mixed biology, it's hard enough to find an organ match that matches according to this HLA system, but the race mixing just makes it nearly impossible. So anyway, this, besides being an overview of organ transplantation in general and bringing that to my attention, let me see, I did look up a couple of links that I'll provide in the program post about what this HLA stuff is so that you can try and read about it if you're really interested. But it is like the ABO system. There are hints throughout what I read that this also there's evidence of racial differences in this HLA system. They note that, for instance, the frequencies of the haplotypes, this is basically a package of genes, that the frequencies of these things are notably different in Europeans, that there's what they call a strong linkage disequilibrium. This is an example of some of the technical stuff that you get into when you look at this. But all what it means in layman's terms is humans are Europeans are different than other people on the planet, and it actually that difference actually aided in the discovery of HLA to begin with. They also note in a different article on Wikipedia about HLA that it can be used to trace migrations in the human population, acting almost as a fingerprint of microevolution. And they note in particular this super B8 haplotype is found enriched in the Western Irish, the more Celtic peoples, the more ancient, among the more ancient of the European peoples. And it declines along gradients away from that region, and it's found only in areas of the world where Western Europeans have migrated. So that's an example of the genetic fingerprint aspect of HLA, or that can be found in HLA. And I'm sure there's others, if you dug into it in more detail, which I'm not going to do, you'd find similar things for Amerindians and East Asians and Africans. Back to this Jewish ethics article. It talks about a shortage of organs, the shortage of organ donors, and that it mentions organ trade is flourishing. And this made a light bulb go off in my head. I hadn't thought about organ trade at all. But I had written an article back in 2009 that was an event that I'll get into in more detail going forward here. Just to show you the sort of process by which this, you know, pulling on this thread unraveled gradually. And this was the beginning of it, reading these paragraphs in this Jewish ethics article. It notes that the organ trade is flourishing, and it notes how people from all over the world travel to India to buy kidneys, apparently. And so this is in 1997. It's still going on from the research that I've done. If anything, it's even more prevalent, although it's shifting around because a lot of it is black market. The organ trade also exists in Egypt. Now, here they mention, this is how it comes into a Jewish ethics paper. They mention how they treat Israeli patients who have undergone organ transplantation in India, particularly kidney transplants. And this is a problem for them. So it's a pragmatic reason that he's writing about this is it's a problem that they have to deal with, the reality that they have to deal with, that Israelis are getting these transplants. They're going overseas to get them. And he mentions that the author of this, that approximately 100 kidney transplants are carried out every year, and there's demand for 250. So there's a shortfall. Although it sounds like very small numbers in Israel. Now, as I say, this article triggered my memory of this organ trafficking story that was from 2009. I don't want to skip ahead here. I'll talk about that in a minute. I did dig a little bit further. You know, it turns out when you look up organ transplants in Jews, I expected and was looking specifically for biological differences, and I didn't really encounter any, which isn't to say that there aren't any, but I guess Jews are genetically close enough. They probably, just like with blood, they have their own unique factors genetically that affect transplantation. But that is not the biggest thing that you'll find evidence of if you go pulling on this thread that I pulled on. You find instead these differences in their racial differences or group differences in mainly in attitudes, both of the people who are talking about the Jews as a group and organ transplantation, and also the Jews themselves. And let me delve a little bit here into the attitudes of the Jews themselves about organ transplantation. Now, they attribute it mainly to religious laws. And in fact, there's Wikipedia articles and other articles that you can read. I'll cite a Wikipedia article titled Organ Donation in Jewish Law. And it describes how some ultra-Orthodox Jews, the Haradim, are vehemently opposed to organ donation, vehemently opposed. That the Haradim in Israel have recently issued an anti-organ donor or quote-unquote life card, which is intended to ensure that organs are not removed from the bearer after brain death or brain stem death. It states, I do not give my permission to take from me, not in life nor in death, any organ or part of my body for any purpose. And this reflects beliefs that can be found elsewhere. There's a Chabad.org site, which is an authoritative site for this Orthodox Jewish, these Orthodox Jewish attitudes. And it describes that, it goes into more detail about this issue about, well, what is it with donating organs and about, you know, life or death, and what does that have to do with anything? Well, and it turns out that, for the most part, organs ideally are taken from a body that is still has a beating heart. You may be brain dead. In fact, that's the ideal candidate for organ donorship, is somebody who is brain dead. Their brain has been, skull has been crushed or whatever, for whatever other reason, they have drug overdose. The body itself, the rest of the body is still intact. The heart is still beating. The lungs are still breathing. And that's when they harvest the organs usually. And they kill the person then. Although doctors worldwide have come to a consensus that being brain dead means you're dead. And so even though the heart is beating, you're not, you know, it's okay to take the organs. Well, the Jews have a different attitude about it. And their definition of death is when the heart stops beating and the lungs stop breathing. And at least this is the fig leaf behind which they hide their desire not to be organ donors. And that's really what it comes down to. It's a fig leaf. It's an excuse. And everyone goes along with it. And I just want to get it out right at the beginning here that I don't really go along with it. But I'm going to I will describe it as it's described. If you read these articles yourself, you just have to read between the lines that it's basically an excuse. They're citing their religion as an excuse that for the reason why they don't donate. It's analogous to, in the previous installments, I talked about how blacks don't donate and Asians don't donate. And in each case, whether it's anthropologists or doctors or, you know, quote unquote liberals, it's this attitude is to make excuses for them. Instead of calling them nasty racists for not wanting to give up their organs and empirically not giving their organs up, you know, no matter what the reason is, they don't call them racists. They don't pathologize or demonize them. They excuse them instead. And as we know, the standard for white people is entirely different. If white people don't do something that is empirically not sharing enough, then it's racism is blamed for that. You know, that we're somehow flawed mentally or morally because we're not sharing. And so that's you see that here too with the Jews. But here's the excuse that they give anyway, is that it's forbidden to tamper with the corpse in any way unless it's in order to directly save a life. And they note that because of that, the Jewish law only, Jewish law, okay, they don't say Jewish religious law, they just say Jewish law, which gives you a better idea of what it really is. It's about Jews and not really religion. Only allows organ donation if it can be ensured that the organs will indeed be used to save lives. And it seems to me like that's an excuse. It's a bit of a detail that I'm sure that they can find some Talmudic excuse, some reason to hang that on. But that's the fact, is that they don't donate. And this is the cover for it, basically. Jewish law maintains that if the heart is still beating, the person is still alive. While the medical and legal world has accepted brain death as a new definition of death, the vast majority of experts in Jewish law have not. So here's a way, one of many, in which the Jews distinguish themselves and discriminate themselves from everyone else. They know full well that everybody else in the medical and legal world thinks one way, and they think another. And they don't feel embarrassed or put out by that at all. It's special consideration for Jews. There's an interesting article here I'll link from the New York Times, and this is all of this is events that have occurred in the last decade or two. Okay, so it's really recent stuff, cutting edge stuff. This was February 2012. This article was written about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And it's New York Times. Its title is In Israel, A New Approach to Organ Donation. It talks about two different ways that – or two different approaches to organ donation that have been taken around the world. The one way is called opt-in, where by default you're not an organ donor. But if you opt in, like for instance checking a box on your driver's license that says you want to be an organ donor, then your organs will be taken if they can be when you die, especially in an automobile accident. Then there's also a corresponding system called opt-out, which by default everybody is an organ donor unless you specifically say that you don't want to be one. Jews really don't like that one because then a Jew might mistakenly give up, his organs might be taken from him before he's quote-unquote dead and without any financial compensation to him. So the Jews invented a third way that they actually have rolled out in Israel, and that's what this article is about. The third way is to increase donations by – they passed a law which basically gives preference to anyone who is a donor, anyone who has previously donated or as a family member who's donated or has checked the box that says, I will be a donor. They, if they need an organ, they get priority over someone else who doesn't have any of those other qualifications. And the interesting thing that comes out of this article, there's a few interesting facts about Israel and about Jews that come out of this article besides this third innovative way. Scan the article here to find the parts that I highlighted about it. The Israeli program was initiated by a Dr. Jacob Lavie, and it was because he had two ultra-Orthodox Jewish patients on his ward who were waiting for heart transplants, and the patients confided in him that they would never consider donating organs, never even think about it, but that they had absolutely no qualms about accepting organs from others. And the next paragraph talks about how that Haredi Jews would not donate organs is a well-known fact in Israel. But this is the first time apparently that this Dr. Lavie had ever heard of it. And it says that the unfairness of a segment of society unwilling to donate organs but happy to accept them nagged at Dr. Lavie. And that's supposedly what motivated him to agitate for this law to be passed. Well, I think about the United States. We have the same unfair system here. And in the two segments, the two installments I did about organ transplantation focused mainly in the U.S., articles written about it here, I could see the unfairness of the system or the way it works in that, as I mentioned, white people are being exploited by this system because we altruistically give our organs, we donate our organs in greater proportion than non-whites do. The non-whites are basically benefiting from this white altruism. It's unfair that segments, the non-white segment, speaking generally, of our society is unwilling to donate organs. And I cited several examples, one in particular that sticks out in my mind, about blacks, it being acknowledged that one of the reasons that blacks don't do it is because they don't want somebody of another race to potentially benefit from their organs, and they would be more encouraged to give up their organs if they were able to check a box that said, my organs will only go to another black person. And how astonishing that is. You know, from a white person's point of view, we're indoctrinated to think that's racism. We're not allowed to think that way. But it's okay, you know, for blacks to think that way. And I didn't find anything comparable to that with Jews, but well, actually, I found comparable things. I didn't find anything exactly analogous to that. In fact, what I found was in the things that are mentioned that they specifically try to make it look like they're not favoring Jews. And in fact, that's a big part of what you find is that a lot of it is for appearance sake. They realize at some level that this thing that they mention here, that this is a well-known fact that Jews, they pin it on Haredi Jews or Orthodox Jews, but as we'll get to here at the end of this article, it reveals that it's really a general Jewish thing. They don't donate organs, and it's a well-known fact. And rather than really just stating it that plainly, they make all excuses. They try to blame it on the Orthodox and so forth. They blame it on religion. So this nagged at this doctor and he got this passed. But it mentions as one of the last paragraphs in the article that even among the half of the country, talking about Israel, that is devoutly secular, in other words, not Haredi, when faced with death and whether to donate organs, suddenly the families become very religious. And suddenly they start asking the rabbis what to do. And the rabbis tell them, no, a good Jew doesn't donate the organs, you know, for whatever Talmudic reason. You know, it's this business about brain death versus heart death, which is kind of nonsensical. Except that it makes sense to give Jews an excuse not to donate their organs, which they in fact don't. So that's the interesting thing about that New York Times article. And it's amazing, you know, the reading between the lines that you have to do to glean this kind of, these kind of facts. I mean, they're not laid out. And that's another recurring theme. It's like I complained about this in one of the previous installments. It's like a puzzle. And you find pieces of the puzzle in different places. And in this case, it's almost as if a lot of the pieces are deliberately disguised. They're buried, and you really have to dig to get them out, not only to piece them together in the different places that they're scattered, but even where you find them, they're disguised and have to be, you have to read between the lines, and I'll get more into that. You'll see more of that as I go along here. Another example of special consideration for the Jews is the dedicated organizations that they have around this issue. And one in particular is called the Halakhic Organ Donor Society. And they list their mission as being to save lives by increasing organ donations from Jews to the general population, Jews and non-Jews alike. And this is an example of that trying to make the appearance that they're being more altruistic. But right below that mission, they list their goals, and they give some four bullet items. The first is to educate Jews about the religious and medical issues, which they mean the Jewish issues. And then the second item is to lobby or for a unique organ donor card for Jews. The third bullet item is to provide rabbinic consultation and oversight, which, of course, only goes to Jews. And then the fourth one, they continue with the pretense that it's, although you're reading between the lines, to match altruistic living kidney donors with recipients. In other words, to match sucker Gentiles with donors with Jewish recipients. Just being kind of cynical reading that. And you go to their frequently asked questions page, and one of the number six in their list is, has the HOD Society saved any lives? And they say yes. And the one example that they give is they paired an altruistic live kidney donor named Eric Swim of the USA with a recipient named Moshiko Sharon of Israel. So, and that's their example. They don't provide any other examples. Now, I'm sure there's other organizations. I didn't bother digging any further in that direction. There's another aspect to this story, which is this. There's a phrase, and I didn't actually see the phrase used, but it came to my mind because I've seen it in other contexts, and this context reminds me of it. It's a Yiddish term called Shanda for the Goyim, and it basically, it's a term that Jews use as sort of code, which means, you know, this is embarrassing. This is something embarrassing for non-Jews to see. It's something embarrassing about Jews. It's dirty laundry that Jews would rather not see aired. And that, you know, I'm talking about some really fine details about Jewish identity here that most people don't know. And I really had intended to talk about this stuff in a dedicated series of installments about Jewish identity. But I think it's necessary. It's a necessary thing to understand. It's an important facet of not only this story, but of the Jewish identity itself is this. And it really is an interplay of the assimilated Jews versus the Orthodox unassimilated Jews. The Jews who are openly Jews are these Orthodox Jews. They dress differently. They don't make any pretense that they're trying to participate as part of the larger liberal society. They are insular and racist, basically. They care about their own group, and they make no bones about it. They don't really make too many excuses about it. And then you've got the assimilated Jews, the ones who are trying to act like they're more quote-unquote liberal and more universalist-minded, and that they're just like us, meaning, you know, white. And they spend a great deal of their time and effort over this concern of Shanda for de Goyim, of, you know, this or that thing that the Orthodox are doing that's embarrassing to Jews as a whole, acting like rude, selfish, people, and these assimilated Jews feel embarrassment about that, and so they spend a great deal of effort trying to excuse it, cover it up, you know, whatever, blame, transfer the blame somewhere else, make narratives that explain it away. It's, as I say, it's a central aspect to the reality of this dual brain that especially assimilated Jews deal with, this double think and double talk. This is what it comes from, is this embarrassment about their less civil, less liberal, racist compatriots, the other Jews. Anyway, an article in the Forward, the Jewish Forward, is an interest. Articles from Jewish media are always more interesting because they are always, in a way, a lot more honest about Jewish identity, about how the Jews see themselves. And they know they're Jews talking to Jews about Jewish interests. And so they speak with a little less code, and it's a little less of an effort to have to dig things out. Well, there's an article here from 2011, January 2011, titled "Debate Over Jewish Guidelines for Organ Donation Crosses the Atlantic." And this is all about Shandafor Degoyim. Michael Goldfarb writes about how the controversy over what is dead according to Jewish law is now being played out in the public, especially in Britain, because of a bit of a to-do that happened in Britain. And what happened was there's this organization called the London Beth Din, which is a religious court associated with the United Synagogue of Great Britain's Orthodox Umbrella Group. And its chief rabbi is this Lord Chief Rabbi Grand Poobah Jonathan Sachs, who I've mentioned before, very ethnocentric Jew, cares, you know, about what Europeans can do for Jews. That's how I've talked about him in the past. Well, he's mentioned here because he's the leader of this Beth Din, apparently, this umbrella group, and they issued guidelines on organ donation. And the article mentions that this might have remained an obscure dispute amongst Jews, but The Guardian, which is a prominent British daily with national distribution, published an article outlining this Beit Din decision and reported that the chief rabbi had issued an edict ruling that organ donation and the carrying of donor cards are incompatible with Jewish law. In other words, it's bad for the Jews, and the Jews aren't going to comply. And this was embarrassing, and so there was a big to-do about it. And this whole article here in the Jewish Forward was about the embarrassment, really, and some of the details that Jews would need to know about, in case any of their goyish friends asked them about it. So there's another story, another report on the same story in the Jerusalem Post, another Jewish source, Jews talking to Jews about Jewish interests. It says, particularly galling has been the sense that halakhic authorities in America and in Israel are permitting Jews to receive organs, but not to donate them. And there's phrases in that article about orthodoxy has been increasingly hijacked by religious fundamentalism, and this fanaticism has swept America as well. But as we know from the New York Times article, all Jews suddenly become religious upon death and when this question about organ donation comes up.